been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Play Music, and Satchel. What did you guys think about that game on Sunday? You know what? I'm not even going to introduce Josh here because we can end the show right now. That was amazing. That was great. All right, great show. No, I'm kidding. All right, Josh, what's going on, man? How are you?
Dude, I'm elated. Got my voice back as well. I'm elated. Is this Baltimore Ravens football? I mean, I feel like I'm like, I don't know what to think. This was a treat. Well, I hope we didn't get Christmas early, but, man, I'm still coming down from the high. What was this?
This was completely unexpected. I figured this would be a three-point game, maybe a seven-point game. It would be, you know, down to the wire. I did not expect to see Ryan Mallett for a third time this year.
Crab Mallett, as you call him.
Yeah. Why haven't we started calling him Ryan the Crab Mallet? It makes so much sense. I mean, it's right there. But
someone should put out a T-shirt. I swear, please, somebody do that. God, with a crab in 15. Come on, it's Christmas time. Someone get that T-shirt going, please,
and give us the royalties for that because we need to get some payback for this. But man, this game was something else. Where did we go wrong? Where did everyone go wrong with this Dolphins team? Because this team is coming in on a hot streak. We said it last week, red hot Dolphins, 6-game winning streak, and they come in and they look worse than the Browns did when they came to Baltimore. What is different about this team? How did we get it so wrong?
Well, for starters, I mean, you're right. I mean, they came in hot as the Florida weather down there, man, and they came up here and they were just chilled. What happened was they played a stellar defense from our end, first off. Second off, we just shut down their plan. And I told you this on the Purple Friday preview. J.I. was their key focal point. The reason why they won 6 games in a row, man, is because he was the key focal point. He was a beast. He was a machine. And everything fed through him. And that's why Landry's production subsided. And we went in that and broke it down. Well, we already knew the Ravens were going to take him away. He was virtually non-existent. Obviously, you know, 60-something yards rushing, no touchdowns, and all be all that. Enough said, we shut down the run. That was the big key. Another big key was we played sound football. I wouldn't say mistake-free, but I couldn't really count maybe one or two penalties that were, like, really. But apart from, like, maybe an offsides here or there, but we did everything that we wished this team would do. Third down efficiency was great. I mean, I'll be all over the map today, man, but just starting on the defensive ball, 3 turnovers, a lot of hurries. They had a couple sacks in there. Pretty much virtually a shutout if it wasn't for a Dennis Pitta football fumble. And trust me, the defense gave him an earful, ragged him on him a little bit. But you're telling me, and the recipe to the Ravens' success is this, and we'll definitely cover this in the Purple Friday preview later in the week, but the last 4 games, including I think the Dolphins might be in the fifth. I have to go back on the games and really see stat-by-stat breakdown. But the Ravens have shut out their opponents in the first quarter for like 4 or 5 straight games. There's the key. If you can pretty much get a team down to 3-quarter football and eliminate, let's say, hey, let's just start in the second quarter, and whether we're up 7-0 or 10-0, which in the last 3 games in a row we scored first, we get out to a hot start. We just haven't been closing it. The Ravens actually had that killer mentality. What happened, and I love it right here, the 4th down calls. I think that set the tone for the game. Harbaugh wasn't having any of it. I mean, the offense didn't even move from the field. It was 4th and 1, and I said, just stay on it. The play calling was superb. I mean, the 4th down play was was flawless. A pitch out to Dixon, not being predictable. The Ravens weren't predictable. And we said that before, man. We called them out, didn't we not?
We did.
We can't be predictable, and they weren't. They were not predictable at all.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about this offense here. They absolutely, for a season where the defense has been the shining star of this team, they got completely overshadowed by the offense yesterday. Joe Flacco came out, and we saw January Joe a little bit early. I mean, he was coming out, and he was just throwing bombs. Just amazing to see that. Did you hear about what happened earlier this week that Joe and Marty Morningweg, they got into a discussion, a loud discussion, from what I understand, a heated argument, maybe, about how they ended that Bengals game and how they were being a little bit too conservative. And apparently both these guys kind of shouted a little bit, got in each other's faces, and look what happens now. They're definitely not being too conservative with their play calling, with how they end the games. Joe wanted to come out, and he wanted to, you know, set the tone and keep that tone going throughout the entire game and not let his foot off the gas. So obviously this little argument they had, it seemed to have worked, and it seems like Marty and Joe might actually be on the same page now.
Well, it's funny how you bring that up, man, and I'm glad we're leading right into that full steam ahead, because didn't we not hear Ray Lewis kind of pick him apart and apologize about it, but just kept questioning his passion? Then here you are talking about Flacco raising his voice to the coaching staff. Frustration. On the football, America's Game, 2012 Ravens, go back and watch that. They have a clip on the sideline of Joe kind of getting in the wheelhouse of Ken Cameron, then our offensive coordinator, saying, we can't win a championship playing like this and calling plays like this. He's said it before. He's been vocal about it. And I know he's echoing what we all feel. And Flacco finally said it. We shouldn't end the game like that. We got to be more assertive. Look, I even said it in the stands after they scored the first. When they scored the first drive, I was like, okay. When we scored 14 points and then we got the ball and we drive for 21, I said, we're stepping on their necks, Brandon. I said, we just got to basically step on them and snap their necks. I said, they got to put them down and put them down early. I said, I want this game to be over, and I want this to be over in the fourth, which I was, you know, predicting the game in 10 quarters, right? But these are the kind of games that, and again, I always bring up Patriots mentality and Belichick mentality and Brady mentality. Why? Because that's who the best is. The Patriots are 10-2 right now after winning this weekend. So when we play them next week, and we always had that discussion. We went through I almost keep saying the Colts because of Peyton Manning, but we went through the Broncos with Peyton. We beat Peyton Manning. We beat Tom Brady and Ruth Tischer. I've always said before, Brandon, in order to be the best in the AFC, you got to beat the best. Right now, we've already beaten the Steelers, and they're in discussion for top team in this conference, and we're tied right now for them with a half-game lead in the first place in the division. We play New England next week, so we'll see how we are in a week on – you know, of how it stands. This is going to be a big test. The Dolphins were a huge test because they were a six-game winning streak. They were 7-4, hot team, hot team, and we just shut them down. This was a statement game. This was not only of Flacco getting a fish morning week. I did hear about that, man. I was excited to hear that because, you know what, something's going to come this weekend. And look what happened. Maybe, and by jokes, maybe he needs to yell in the coaching staff again, or maybe they need to go to a heated discussion, but it led to a huge day. Flacco, 4 touchdowns, 381 yards, 36 of 47. He set a franchise record completing 36 passes. His receiving core, obviously, a team effort. I can't say enough, man. Wow. This was a wow game where I'm just like, I really don't know what to say. I was like, I literally, when Ryan Mallett came in the fourth and they introduced Ryan Mallett as the quarterback, I looked at my friends. I was like, I chuckled. And he goes, what's the funny? I said, I feel kind of spoiled. We don't have to wait to the end of the game to see if we can eke one out. We don't have to wait, like Suggs said. We shouldn't have to end the game on a strip sack fumble every week. We if we're good as we are, we need to win these games as just like this. We need to put teams away instead of having the Browns hang around, having the Jets hang around and losing to them. And we're way better than the stupid record says that we are at 7-5. We easily should have like 9 or 10 wins. We should be tied for the home field advantage in the AFC right now for the Patriots, but it's not happening this year. But we're alive. This was a complete game from top to bottom, flawless football. this is Ravens football, Brandon. I was excited to see this. This is what we need going into New England. They carry this game plan next week on the road. Man, the sky's the limit for the team going to end the year, man. We got four left. Let's see if they can duplicate this, man.
It's definitely a good time to get hot. I mean, December's that perfect time. Melt some of that snow that's up in New England, but we'll get to that on the Purple Friday preview. Now, let me ask you, this is probably the only concern I want to talk about for this past game. A lot of the media is talking about it as well, but it is something to talk about. The offense, while being absolutely on fire and looking great, it was very unbalanced. Joe, I think he had 40 passes by the third, and he only had 6 tailback rushes. So the ground game is still not there. I mean, when you put up this many points, it feels like it doesn't matter. But for you, is that a concern going forward? The fact that, yes, Joe has the arm, and yes, he is connecting his receivers and doing a great job. His receivers are getting open. But does it concern you that the running game still might not be there? Because if you remember a month or so ago, Trestman was let go due to his lack of a ground game, and it seems as if it's still not there.
Great point. I'm glad you're bringing this up, man. That's a great point, and I can kind of agree with that. I mean, definitely through all this, through his offensive performance, through everything, you don't want to lose sight of that and run pass and balance. I think we go as the game comes to us. And I say that every show, every time. We go as the game plan comes. But if I remember correctly, I don't know the yards average per, but the Ravens are running at a pretty rapid rate when running football. How many times I see Karis West or Kenneth Dixon, they'd be first down. They run at 7-8 yards, and we're at 2nd-and-2. When you're running at that pace, runs are limited. But the way we were throwing the ball, I can't count the times I've seen it. Instead of doing these dink-and-dunk 3-yard passes, I was like, it disqualifies the offense because you have Perryman with speed. You have Mike Wallace with speed. You have Steve Smith with a slot guy in possession. You have Dennis Pitta, who had a career day and awakening. And you're not using these weapons right. And I felt like Flacco said, we didn't end the Bengals game well. We are too conservative. You want to let it out, but you don't want to throw the ball 47 times every game. Granted, it happened in Philly. Philly lost to the Bengals in embarrassing fashion. They had a rookie quarterback throwing it 60 times. That's not a formula for success. Yeah, granted, they were losing by 25 points at one point in that game. But besides the point, Brandon, I have to say I definitely see a concern on the run. You don't want to lose face of that and getting all excited about this game, saying, man, we play great football. Who cares about breaking this game down? It was flawless. We chopped them up, bit them into pieces, and let them go in the own of New England. But no, you can't wipe your hands clean of this because there still are concerns. That's a great concern. But when Joe's like that and flawless, you go with the game. And you also, that could be a Ravens game plan in the game. Go with the defense is giving you. If the defense is letting him throw all day long and letting him get open like that, keep going. We would have this discussion if Flacco was throwing like that all the time and they go, oh, let's go run the ball, and then all of a sudden they were shutting down the run and we couldn't move the ball, then we'd be sitting here on the show going, hey, Brandon, you would be asking me, hey, Josh, why didn't we pass it more, man? We were going right down the field, dink, 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 and then, they started running the football. So it has to be a balance, and I think we go as the game goes and as the defense gives us to it. But here today, luckily for us, a 38-6 win is awesome. That looks on the stat sheet. It really didn't matter. But at the end of the game, they had some great runs. I mean, when it was garbage time, West and Dixon were a 1-2 punch to be had. Mm-hmm. They're running it like 10 to 12 yards a clip like every other run. And they were just utilized well. Didn't I not see obviously you weren't at the game. But, remember I said broken down on the Purple Friday preview how why not mix it up and put two backs in the backfield?
Yeah.
You know what was interesting during pregame introductions for the offense? They introduced West and Dixon in the starting offense.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, and they were both featured heavily. I have to go back and look. And being at the game, you kind of don't get to see it like on TV. But I almost want to go back and check the highlights again. I did watch the highlights when I get home, but I want to pay attention to this, and I didn't get to do it, is I wonder see how many times if – both of them were in the backfield at the very same time, if they were in the field at the same time, because that's what you have to do. You have to disguise your hand. It's a poker game out there, guys. You can't reveal everything you do. Like, if you line up in an eye and Juszczyk's back there and it's 3rd-and-1, what are you going to do? You're going to run the ball, or they're going to fake in the stupid play action and throw it in the flat. Well, of course, every defense is going to cover that. I know to cover it. A five-year-old knows how to cover that. So, and they know what's coming. So you can't show your strengths. Think everything was there. Shotgun formation, throwing the football out of shotgun. They did a lot of draw. The draw plays were there. The screen passes were there. But again, 11 incompletions, and that's not too shabby. 36 completions set a franchise record, a career best. You know, hey, maybe the blowout was good, and it's what we need to. An explosiveness in the offices during the week led to an explosiveness on the field. I was very excited to see that. But it dude, you're right. It's almost like it's really hard to, when your team plays this good, to pick apart things. But good find on the run. I think the run rate pass ratio needs to improve. But it's not going to be down the middle, guys. We're not looking for a 20 pass and a 20 run kind of deal, because that's not what happens. Sometimes you have to throw it. And even if we're up, you just got to put pedal to the metal and go with works. And I was screaming in the stands when they were up 24-0. We came out in the third quarter. I said, pedal to the metal. I said, let's just put these guys away. Don't let them score. Don't let them get involved. Don't let them down there and throw seven. Don't let them go down there and get in. It was awesome because they were down there and they got the tip pass, and Weddle got his another pick. And it was just, that's all she wrote. And when he had that, I had a feeling the game was over at that point. It was a great turning point in the game because they were driving. They were down there. And even the Dolphins were vocal and after the game at this point, saying, you know, you cross your enemy territory a few times and don't put up points. That's what's going to happen. You end up on the disappointing end of the loss. So it just, again, the Ravens did everything well and gave the Dolphins nothing.
I like what you said there. You know, yeah, we didn't really use the running game as much, but if the defense is giving these receivers these wide open holes, why not throw all day? You know, because if they're not being covered, just let's do it. Let's do our thing.
Right. And I know you're not a basketball fan, but it's almost like any defensive basketball, man. I mean, you've seen a few games. It's if you don't want to jack up breeze all day long, but if the defense is sucking in because they're afraid you're going to drive the lane, let's just chuck it up. And if you've got pure shooters, let them shoot a three-point shot all the time, and they're going to drill it, and you're going to make the defense pay. I always said, if the defense gives it to you, make them pay. If they're going to commit penalties, make them pay. If they're going to give you free yards, make them pay. If they're going to turn the ball over and give you the ball and your defense helps you out, go make them pay. If they turn the ball over on you and Joe Flacco and offense gets back out in the field, why don't we go score seven and make them pay? That's what the good teams do. That's what the Patriots have done. That's what Peyton Manning-led teams have done. That's what Ben Roethlisberger-led teams have done. Aaron Rodgers teams have done it. They make you pay. You make one slip up, and the good teams go, okay, we're going to make you slip up. We're going to make you look like fools out there and pay for it. And then you're going to, oh, and it makes it worse. What makes it a bad game and one of these close games, and why we play a lot of close games, is we'll get the turnover or we'll get a stop, but then our offense goes three and out. Or happened in the Bengals game. We stopped the Bengals. Three, you know, on a great drive, we get the ball back, and the Ravens deep in their own territory. One play, two play, three play, punt. And you're like, really? Not this past weekend. It was fire, fire, fire down the field. And I have to bring this up, man. That play, and I saw it obviously once. They showed it in the stadium a few times, but seeing it on TV, and I saw it live, and the touchdown was towards me. But Perryman's breakaway speed was on display there. Did you not see that? And not how awesome is that? And that needs to be a focal point in the offense. He needs to let it fly because that kid's got speed. If he can get it, let him go. That was
finally awesome. Finally, we're seeing that speed.
He turned on the burners, man. Yeah. He turned on the burners. He didn't get caught.
There's been so many instances this season where Joe has thrown a pass to a receiver and then the play is over. Like the only receiver that's been able to catch a ball and then actually get a few yards is Steve Smith. He's the only one who can catch it, turn, and go. Wallace did against the Steelers, but, I mean, Steve Smith's the one who does it consistently. So to see Perryman do that, catch the ball, and then just, you know, he had those wheels going, was able to get that touchdown, that is great to see. Again, we said it last week, we need him to be consistent. We need him to do that more often. Hopefully we've hit it now at this point where we are going to see that more often from Rashad Perryman, because obviously he's got some wheels underneath him and we want to see that more often. Now, he had a great catch. Kamar Aiken had a juggling catch early on, but let's just say this. I want to stick to the offense, but the best catch of the day came from Lardarius Webb of the defense. What a show of skill to be able to run all the way into the end zone, help Gerard Powers out, get an interception, fall to the ground, make contact with the other receiver, and be able to get back up, continue the game. What a catch by Lardarius Webb. I didn't think we still had that in Webby.
No, neither did I. I was like, who did that? I didn't know who did it at first. And then on the replay, they actually showed him on Jumbotron laying there. I said, dude, that's 21. I was like, and I even joked in the stands. I said, is that Chris McAllister or Darius Lardarius Webb? Because I didn't know who came on that ball. And I thought he caught it for a touchdown. And or the Dolphins were here caught it. And I'm like, who's got the ball? Then when they showed the replay originally, I said, oh, it's going to get turned over because it looked like the ball hit the ground or it looked like the ground ate it in the catch. But when they took the play stands, I was like, and then I saw it at home when I came home that after the game and actually looked at it on my tablet on the highlights of the game. I said, wow, he got both feet in, both knees went. I said, it was an incredible athletic play. And if he carries that through us for the rest of the year, and if we play January football, man, oh man, that was a welcome play. And we need that. We missed that because another change, Jimmy Smith was back. We're the healthiest we've been all year, man. We haven't, I don't think this week on the shows, we really didn't talk injuries. Doomerville's back.
Mm-hmm.
Suggs is still playing through his injury. Flacco, far from his knee brace, dude, he was firing away. Every ball was sharp, crisp. That's when he's happened. He felt pressure. He wasn't throwing off his back foot a lot. Pitt is healthy. He had a career day. Jimmy Smith's healthy. Marshall Yanda, Ronnie Stanley, all these guys that were hurt early in the year on our 4-game losing streak are now healthy. Imagine if we didn't have these guys hurt. We could have won these games. Jimmy Smith again hurt in a Giants game. We won that because Beckham wouldn't have went off. This is the key. You stay healthy. We can win a few games around here, man. We got four left. Some five are looking pretty good, man. Sitting the top of the division. It's great to know when you watch NFL Network and watch ESPN and know when they're talking about playoff picture and you see division leaders. Right now, the Ravens hold a 3 seed in the NFL playoffs. 3rd seed, man. It's incredible. As bad as this year's been, and we started 3-0 and had a 4-game losing streak, and oh my God, doom and gloom, and the team sucks, and Flacco's not elite, and Flacco's not a leader, he's not passionate. Dude, we're in first place, man. Before left, it's going
right.
to be fun.
That's right. And before we jump to the defense, which you know they had such a stellar game as well. I mean, the offense just such a great day for them. We would be terrible podcasters if we didn't talk about that offensive line. Ronnie Stanley, Marshall Yanda, Jeremy Zuta, all those guys. The reason why Joe was able to make all those passes because Joe was standing up the entire game. He got hit a few times, but was never sacked. This offense. Line is finally it's missing Alex Lewis, but finally it's looking like the offensive line we wanted to see at the beginning of the year. These guys are all healthy for the most part. What a showing by them. They did an amazing job giving Joe time, giving Joe the ability to let plays happen. This was a great showing on their part as well.
Very great showing, man. I mean, it was a great collaborative a day for the unit to come together, man. They played well. It seemed like communication on the field was key. Everybody knew their spots where to be on the field. This was that kind of game to where, yeah, this is not going to happen every week, guys. Let's just put that to rest. They're not going to bring the same game. The Ravens ain't going to play a flawless game in on the road in New England on Monday Night Football in December. But if half that communication or 75% of communication comes in there and they're playing some plays, it's going to happen for us. You know, but don't get me wrong. I mean, you're right, Brandon. At the beginning of the show, yeah, there's really not much to talk about. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is one game out of 12 where we look incredible, apart from maybe a few spots here and there in the games. But every game this year has been close. Every game this year we've had a lead. Every game this year we could have won. Now, obviously, every team can say that, sit there and whine and complain. We could be undefeated. The Ravens legitimately could or have one or two losses. Because they had to lead in the fourth quarter in every game. Even in the Giants game, they had to lead with the final minute in the game. It just happens that way. And what sparked that, and we were down 20 points to the Browns on the road in week two. You know, that doesn't happen every day. We don't score 25 unanswered points on the road and win a game. I don't care who it is. And the Browns, yeah, they suck, but that was week two. It wasn't week 11 where they're still winless. It was week two. Let's just get excited about it. But as far as communication and key, everybody had their spots. They held their lanes. The pressure wasn't really there on Tannehill, but it was there enough. They got a couple key sacks where they needed to be. The pressure was there. They blanketed the receivers. They had a couple of tip balls. Tip ball led to a pick. Three interceptions on the day. Dre Powers got one. One of my favorite guys on the team, man. It, overall, it was a great performance. Communication was key, and that's what needs to happen. Communication goes, and it's going to happen bad for us on the field, man. It was great. And I wanted to bring up something to you. Do you recall a Steve Smith penalty when he got the taunting?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And you remember Jay Ajayi getting one, too?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And you also remember Jernigan getting one?
Yeah, I do remember that one.
That's three. All right. 45 yards, 30 on the Ravens, 15 on the Dolphins. The reason why I want to bring that up, shift gears to that, definitely want to touch on it before we definitely wrapped up, is I made notes in the stands at halftime about this because I didn't want to get away, is I really think that's a ticky-tacky foul, and it should not even be called. I think the NFL should abolish that altogether. Personal foul taunting, this isn't rec ball. These guys aren't kids. They're pros. They're athletes. They're grown men. They got families. They make millions and millions of dollars, not more than we could ever even touch in our lifetimes. These guys are retiring 10 years and have all the money in the world. Taunting because they're jawing each other. To me, I want to make a point of that. To me, that just goes against. It's a warrior's game. It's a man's game. It gets heated. I'm going to say this. What I reverted to back to is when I hear these taunting plays, and obviously we don't know what was said down there. I know it was a few choice words because I saw Jay Ajayi when he got his. He kind of nodded his head and was kind of like saying something to our defensive guy, and he got flagged on the sideline. Any of you different than – we all remember Richard Sherman's end rant when the Seahawks went to the second Super Bowl and he beat the Niners, and he was talking about mediocre Crabtree. If that's the case, then find him for mouthing off against Crabtree for taunting because he was calling him out. I mean, these guys are grown men, and that's Steve Smith's M.O., man. That's game. He's a talker. I've heard all defensive players all like it gets under their skin because he talks. When I played basketball, Brandon, I was a talker. I'd get in these guys' heads and talk, and oh, you can't shoot. You know, they'd be shooting free throws and they miss, and I get in their heads. I was the jawer. But it's part of the game. It's verbal assault, verbal seduction, verbal ninjas. You got to get in their brains a little bit, mess with them. I mean, ain't no different ice than a kicker. It's a mental game. It's part of the game. You know, I can see if you call somebody a racial slur or said something bad, I could see it being a 15-yard penalty for thought. You don't know what was said down there. But, again, I would love to know. But at the same time, I'd love to know what triggers these taunting penalties. And, Brandon, you've seen UFC fights a lot. You just saw the last McGregor fight, right?
Right, yeah.
He does that constantly in the ring. Yeah, he backs it up. He's the man. He's awesome. But do you not see McGregor when he's in a match – in a UFC fight, he sits there and shrugs his shoulders. He even put his arms down. He smirks. He does that. Mayweather did it. Mayweather's undefeated. He has every right to. Mayweather's 49-0. No boxers beat him. So my whole point is there is I think they should take taunting, the 15-yard taunting. If it's ticky-tacky or if it's severe, maybe a 5-yard penalty. But a 15-yard personal foul, they didn't club somebody with their fist in the helmet. They didn't maliciously go after somebody. They didn't take their helmet on off the field and go after somebody. They didn't shove somebody down. They didn't slam them to the ground. I really think that penalty should be abolished or even eliminated, but that's just my opinion. I just think it's tacky in a sport where men and adrenaline and bodies are getting crushed. I mean, it's just how it is.
I think that all spawns from a couple years ago when a lot of NFL players were getting in trouble. You know, we had the whole Ray Rice situation. We had drunk driving. We had, you know, all that kind of stuff going on. And I think that the NFL was trying to show, oh, we're family-friendly entertainment, and we're going to set a good example for the kids out there. And if somebody calls somebody else a bad name or whatever, we're gonna give them a penalty for that. So I think, and I think it's also
the whole
that,
thug mentality. I get it. Yeah. I get what your point is.
I agree with you that it's a little excessive, especially if it's like, oh, if this person does this again, then they're not allowed to play anymore. But like you said, these aren't children. But I definitely think that that's the NFL way of thinking. Is now we live in a world where, you know, everybody has to, you know, wear protective gloves, you know, when handling somebody. because, you know, you don't want to hurt their feelings and that type of thing. I just think that's the NFL's way of doing it. But, like, I agree with you. I don't think it's necessary. But I think for a public image, that's why they're doing it.
I can see that point being too. I'll always counter that by saying you can't be a people pleaser. You can't please everybody because you know how it is. It's Christmas time. Everybody's going to be a Scrooge. You always find them in the woodwork. The Ravens can go 16-0 undefeated, win the Super Bowl, have the best season ever, and then go, oh, they still suck, or you'll still find somebody complaining about it. So with that, you just can't really please the minority there. You just got to go with what's your product. But I just wanted to throw that in there and create discussion. If anybody has that, you know, feel free to, you know, email us, tweet us, Facebook us. I'd like to know your thoughts on that. Because I've always, everybody's got – I don't got kids, obviously. But, you know, there's a lot of fans that listen to the show that, you know, have family, have kids. I like to, you know, do you agree with Brandon's take on that? Do you kind of want it to, you know, still happen because, you know, you don't want to set the wrong example? But, you know, it's these guys' jobs. I mean, who are we to say what they can and cannot say on the field and it'd be a penalty because they want to jaw at each other? It's a competitive nature where they're going for one of the greatest prestigious championships in all major sports. It's a Super Bowl championship. Someone's going to say something and get heated. I mean, you're going to flag them 15 free yards and get the other team free yards because Steve Smith wants to say something to somebody? I think it's just wrong. Maybe the NFL on the side should fine these guys, five or 10 on the side, maybe. But don't penalize the whole team 15 yards. And let's say if it was a third down play, I don't know if it was or not, but don't say it's a third down play. Steve Smith says something, or let's say our defender gets a stop. And then they're going to fight for taunting. They get a first down. They get a touchdown, and we lose by 4 points, and we're winning by three because our player decided to say something, and the NFL fight him for it. So I can see, obviously, in a 38-6 win, doesn't matter. But those are the kind of scenarios where it's like maybe if it's magnified and that happens, I wouldn't say I told you so, but it's just a kind of like that. Those kind of thing, it means like it's not a foul. It's not a defensive holding. It's not nothing to give gain an edge. All they're doing is jawing each other. But now if they make a lewd gesture or flip somebody off on the field, that's where the taunting comes into play. But if you're just jawing at somebody, dude, words are words. Sticks and stones. Line up and play football, dude.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree with you there. So let's talk a little bit about the defense. Again, they got overshadowed by the offense during this game. But the defense looked, you know, lights out. I did not think that the Dolphins were going to score at all. I'm kind of a little bit bummed they didn't get the shutout. But everybody's doing their job. It's great to have Jimmy Smith back. I got very worried when Tavon Young got a shoulder stinger and Sharice Wright came in.
I did too.
But as far as they go, I mean, Eric Weddle had a great day. There's nothing bad you can say about the defense. They played very close to a perfect game.
You got it there. There's the key right there. You just said it. You took it away. You led off with it, Brand. You just said it. Sharice Wright wasn't on the field. That was the key.
That's right.
Don't you? Everybody, they think I'm stupid. It's like, Sharice Wright, he's mediocre. He's okay. Mason plays. I'm telling you, if he's in the game, we're going to lose. If he's starting, we're going to lose. This is how it is. And part of that is obviously because Jimmy Smith was hurt the last 3 weeks or four. I don't know how long he was hurt. Seems like an eternity since he's played. That goes hand in hand. I think the defense should be Tavon Young and Jimmy Smith back there, Webb and Weddle with the safeties. You bring in Powers on nickel. Powers is awesome. You got some good players back there. Wright should be a last resort, or for it's like a Ryan Mount situation. If we're up by 20 points, let him cover somebody to feel good about himself.
Well, you probably
need to bash somebody, but he's just – it's just bad play.
Yeah.
He gets burned all the time. He was exposed against Dallas. He's not that caliber player that we need right now on a playoff run. It's just not.
You probably didn't see this since you were there, but I don't know if a lot of people caught this. The refs definitely did not. But Sharice Wright was in the game when Tavon Young got taken out. He made a play. He got up off the ground, and as he's walking away from the Dolphins player, he kicked the Dolphins player in the head, and he tried to make it look like it wasn't intentional, but it was very intentional. And
I missed that. Do you know where it was in the game? Or
I don't know, because Sharice Wright wasn't in the game very long. I was working yesterday, so I was kind of like watching the game while I was working. Don't tell my boss, but he kicked the Dolphins player in the head. It was a light tap as he was walking away, but it was definitely like a it definitely could have been a personal foul penalty. And he's lucky. And I just had like I saw I was like, who did that? Why would you do that? And of course, it was Sharice Wright. So.
Wow, didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you still have the game or whatever, if you want to look that up, but it was a very short kick. It was not, it wasn't very forceful, but it definitely could have been seen as, like we just were talking about, taunting. It definitely could have been a taunting penalty. And if you're in the game for a play or two, and that's what you do, I mean, there's a reason why you're not playing all the time.
Right, and that could have been, basically, that could have been like a Nam Dung Su, play where you're going at somebody maliciously and hurting them or kicking them or stepping on them. But I mean, what it comes down to, that behavior can't be tolerated for one. Obviously, if it was caught, whether it was caught by coaching staff or not, I don't know if coaches saw it. I definitely didn't see it because I was there. You're right. So I definitely want to see how that goes in the coming weeks, especially in the next game. I'm going to monitor that. Obviously, it'll be on TV. But no, it's definitely an interesting take. You want to feel bad for him. You want him to do good. He's a Raven. You want him to flourish and do good. But the fact of reality is when you're getting exposed and beat, and it can't happen, man. I mean, I've always said it. Every team exposes him. And what do you think Tom Brady's going to do next week? I mean, he might have not leave receivers to Gronk's out for the year, but they'll expose him. If Sharice Wright steps on the field, Bill Belichick's one of the smartest guys out there. You think for a second they're going to exactly do that. It ain't no Ed Reed out there anymore. If they go after Wright, that's why I was like, they need to get healthy, and they are healthy now. So thanks for bringing that up, man. I definitely didn't see it being at the stadium. There's a lot going on at the stadium where it's different to do that, but it's definitely something to really look into and behavioral, and maybe even sees how if he practices week, if he's even involved, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. All right. So anything else we should talk about in this Red Eye review?
Brandon, man, jam-packed is always a 38-6 win. Relaxing win, man. Quoth the Raven, nevermore. We got this one, buddy. It's in the bag.
All right, guys. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52, man.
All right, guys, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about The Call and Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. We always share some fun stuff Ravens-related. I don't know if you saw this or not, guys, but if you go to The Call Podcast page, a local Baltimore news station did a story about Show Your Soft Side, which is a group that's fighting animal abuse in Baltimore, and they had a holiday party in downtown Baltimore, and there were a bunch of Ravens there, and guess who got to be featured in the WJZ story? Yours truly and his dog Bella. That's right, we are in the story. You can see us there. We're getting our picture taken with Ronnie Stanley and Chris Moore and Ryan Jensen. And
hey, how'd that go, man? I saw you were down there.
I mean, it was fun. I don't want to say, the
change. I was going to bring that up earlier, man.
I know, I should have, but it was nice. Ronnie Stanley has this great story how he came to Barks, which is an animal shelter here in Baltimore. He went in and said, give me the oldest dog and the one that's been here the longest, which, as you know, if to get an older dog out of a shelter, it's very hard to do because a lot of people don't want older dogs. They want a puppy that's going to be around a long time. So for him to go in and do that, take a dog that's been there so long, that's had a hard life, I have a lot of respect for Ronnie Stanley. So when I saw the chance where I could bring my dog and get a picture with him, I was all for it. So I was definitely down for that. I didn't like it. It was a little weird. It was a little disorganized with the photos because it was $20 for every adult, but you had to pay for every adult that was in the picture. So like I had three adults in my picture, so we each had to spend $20, but we only get one photo, but like somebody else only pays $20 if they're by themselves. You know what I mean? So it's like we're each getting the same thing, but I'm paying $60 as instead of $20 because we're each getting one photo. But
yeah, it makes sense.
That's neither here nor there. They do a lot of great work in Baltimore, and the Ravens have teamed up with them, and it's a great thing where they try to combat animal abuse by showing off, show your soft side. You don't have to be a big, tough guy all the time. You can, it's okay to be happy and have fun with a dog, and dogs are good pets and everything like that. So check it out. They did a news story, and my dog and myself and my family are a little, we're some of the B-roll in the story, but that's on our Facebook page for the call, so definitely go check that out. All right, guys, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Reporting Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please be kind. Please spread the word about the call. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call and you should too. We will be back this Friday with our Purple Friday preview, getting ready for the Ravens and Patriots. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, man. It's been a great, great Red Eye Review. Guys, thank you so much. I want to give a shout out to Beth. She met me up at the top of the stairs there as I got in the stadium. It was a great surprise. I want to give a shout out to her. Great to see all of our listeners always see it being down the stands. Dude, it's just been a great ride so far with the Colts and the Ravens. I really just am excited what's ahead. Wasn't it a great win? Wasn't it a great win to enjoy? Mm-hmm. It was very relaxing. Obviously, no stress. All at the end of the game, Ryan Mallett's in. It was definitely a treat. We got a little Christmas present early, a little stocking stuffer, you say. But we got four games left, guys. It's depressing. One home game left out of these three next four on the road. It'll be a tough road, man. We got Monday Night Football next week. It's going to be great. I can't wait. It's going to be great. I'm really excited to see what the Rays can do going from this game. We've talked about a lot of great things, seen a lot of the great things on the field. Guys, it's right ahead of us, the AFC North. I've always said defend the North. Let's get it. Let's take the North. Straight, forget defending. Let's take it. Let's show them. We want it. We want it badly. And it's going to all come down to Heinz Field on Christmas Day. Can't wait. Baltimore Ravens, enjoy this one. Let's fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.